Let us stand up and pray. Lord our God, every word we read, every song we sing, every thought expressed moves us, strikes us, touches us in the depths of our soul. Lord, we have arrived at the end of days, in a time when you want to reveal yourself once more. And as Samson prayed then, once more, Lord, once more, may your power, the power of the resurrection, return to your church, the power of the blood, the word and spirit. Lord, let no one be found deceived at the end of our pilgrimage. Give us grace before your face and in your presence to be transformed, changed, and renewed. My God, how mighty you have spoken to us over many years through your revealed word. When we look to ourselves, we have nothing to boast of but our weaknesses. But Lord, when we look to you, we are confident, for you are the author and finisher of our faith. Faithful God, take us this day. I thank you for your presence. You are in this room. You are in our midst. Faithful Lord, I ask you, may your spirit work faith in our hearts through your word that we need so that you can reveal yourself. Lord, all who are weary and heavy laden, you called to you and gave them rest for their souls. Faithful God, as needy people, as people who are helpless, we come to you and thank you that you have become our help by grace. Faithful God, bless us in the course of this hour. Lord, and when we almost close our eyes, open our hearts to the extent that you might come into your own. Keep us in your grace. Bless and give your word even now by grace. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I have just a few words I want to read. The first one from Acts 16. Just this one sentence. We all know the story. Lydia, a seller of purple, who was listening, and it says here in Acts 16, in the last part of verse 14, whose heart the Lord opened. It is not a long word that we read, but it is of such great importance. She was among the audience, and God, or the Lord, opened her heart. It is necessary that we as listeners do not only have ears, they are, thank God or not, automatically open to everything that is said. And sometimes we wish we had an automatic system built in so that our ears only open when something is said, that our hearts can bear, and that brings us blessing. Such an automatic is denied us, and our ears hear good and evil from the left and from the right. And our hearts have to cope with this. And we are always in the middle of a new spiritual battle. And when someone thinks that he has already overcome everything, then something from the left or from the right comes to your ear. And if it would stay in your head and settle in your ear, but it goes into your heart. And already we are in a new battle, in a new catastrophe. But that's what we are destined to do, so that we pass the tests. And it says, blessed is the man who passes the tests. God does not allow more than we can bear. And sometimes, some of us may have said, I can't go on. And perhaps someone has also said, after it came over the lips, I can't take it anymore. I don't want anymore. And then apologized to the Lord. There are many things. People who are in despair have already gone through many things. But Job writes that God does not weigh the words of one in despair. God cannot. Here, it is only about one thought, whose heart the Lord opened. And it is my wish and my prayer that our hearts would be opened under the proclamation of the Word, and that the Lord could speak to us so directly that we almost fall off our chairs because His Word has struck us and we have felt that we are the ones addressed. We do not just watch that others hear, but we are addressed. Here, I would like to add a word. Brother Pesal has already read from Ephesians, and all the letters to the Ephesians are among the most precious and important for teaching, whether it is election, predestination, and the blessing of God that we have received. A great deal has been said in depth in the letter to the Ephesians. It says here that God has chosen us, that He has pardoned us, that we have been raised in Christ and transferred into heavenly places. We have read it from Ephesians 2. By the way, it was also the text for Brother Branham's sermon, God who is rich in mercy. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us. He not only spoke of love, He had it and He still has it. For He loved His own, and He loves them to the end. Today we say, we love you, and tomorrow love is turned into hate. Everything is upside down, and no one knows where it goes anymore. With God, it is quite different. He loved us, and made His love known on Golgotha. And that is also what verse 5 says. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Here we have a divine fact that must be set before us and written into our hearts. God has reconciled us to Himself in Christ. The enmity has been abolished and has not only pardoned us and forgiven our transgressions, but at the same time made us alive with Christ. This is not something that is yet to come. It has already happened. The whole work of redemption is a work of God. And God never does anything by halves, but always as a whole. When the Lord God looked at all the works and what He had created on the seventh day, we read so beautifully, and He saw that all was good, yes, very good. I'll read that part again. For His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It has already happened from God. And the church of the Lord is chosen and predestined. We have been in God and will always be with Him, because He has chosen us and predestined us. Paul said this so clearly in Galatians 1, namely in verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, separated from my mother's womb. Let me say it today. There are people born into this world who were destined to be born into that world. And there are people who are born into this world who were actually not meant to be there. And there is a verse already in the Old Testament. I don't want to read the scriptures in the New Testament now. But to show you how the Spirit of God already spoke in the Old Testament through the prophets and men of God, we read in Psalms 58, verse 4, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear. which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. Have we all listened and read properly? The wicked are estranged from the womb. Who can change it? No one. The wicked are estranged from the womb. Those who have been pardoned by God can say like Paul, when it pleased him who set me apart and ordained me from my mother's womb, then we see the gross difference. Beloved, as surely as the paths of some go to destruction from birth, the paths of those who are to be saved lead to the path of life from birth, because they are destined to be pardoned by God, and they are basically already pardoned. Only they recognize it at a certain time. We have also heard this in such a wonderful way from Brother Branham. He said, you think you have been saved in the revival meeting here or there. He said, it is not so. You were saved when your Savior shed his blood on the cross of Calvary and paid the price. But then the time came. You heard the word, and then you accepted your salvation, the salvation of your soul. That is something wonderful. People who are destined to be saved hear the word and are saved. But, as it is written here, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. And among these people, here they are described, their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear. People who are not destined to behold the glory of God reveal the traits of Cain, who was a product of the serpent. And there is no need to make a big secret of it. It is just the way it is. And no one can mix these two things together. There are these two lines, and they will remain until the end. We see it from Cain and Abel. We see it with Jesus and Judas. And we see it now at the end, Christ and the Antichrist, the true church, which is described as the bride of the Lamb, and the apostate, which is given some titles in Revelation 17. Both run side by side until the end. Let us not be mistaken. This thing is not to be sought only in the state churches, but everywhere there are both, the one and the other. Blessed is the man who has found grace before God, who does not have the poison of a serpent under his tongue. And I have certainly said this here before. After all, there is no limb that we can look at that looks so much like a serpent as the tongue, and it would do everyone good. You all love to look in the mirror. Do it once, and you will be shocked at what you will see in your own mouth. Just look into your own mouth, and you will see that James is right. The tongue is only a little member, but it can be set on fire of hell. At Pentecost, the fire of God came, and the tongues of those who became believers were cleansed. They were purified, and the believers were anointed with the Holy Spirit. They did not have two faces. They were not two-faced. They had only one face and only one tongue. On their face, the glory of God reflected, and with their tongues and through their lips came the testimonies of the great deeds of God. And I say to you today, when it is written in our Bible, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance, then read a little further. It was a testimony of the great deeds of God, and that impressed the people, because these people who testified were, as we heard so beautifully in the word of introduction, the work of God Himself. Ye are the work of God, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God has provided for those who love Him. For they are not your works and not mine. They are already provided by God for you and me to do them in the name of the Lord. People who belong to this divine group will have the characteristics of Jesus Christ. They will have His virtues. They will have His nature. They will have His life in them. People on whom God has done something, not only outwardly, but inwardly. And also this, we have said again and again, it must begin in the soul. Oh, how we are tired of the days when everything goes haywire and tongues are already hot. How we are so tired of all this time. Let me say it again. And we long that God, in His grace, in His love, in His divine mercy, could descend upon us and create something entirely new in us. People whom He wants to use must have experienced Him beforehand. And having heard God's word so abundantly, it should not be difficult for us to come into His presence with a bowed heart and humble spirit and confidently testify like Peter, "Lord, I am a sinful man." And those who cannot testify to this still lack the knowledge of who they are in the first place. But together we come to God, just as we are. Don't you ever make yourselves better than you are when you want to come to God. Otherwise, you won't get to Him at all. Every person who makes himself better than he really is cannot come to God. Every person must come to God as He is. If we make ourselves better, we no longer need His help, and He sees through our hypocrisy and says, I've had enough of this. You cannot come into my presence like this. Come as you are. But then we leave His presence differently as we came to Him, as transformed, as people on whom He has done great things. Remember this one thing now. God has people, and we may belong to those who were chosen before the foundation of the world to behold the glory of God. And as Paul could say, when He who was faithful and has set me apart from my mother's womb, when He manifested His grace in me, separated from the womb, from eternity, chosen and destined, even if we would wish to go down, we cannot. We will be where we belong. And God has placed this desire so deeply within us. And we can say with Job confidently, I will see God. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet I shall see Him who shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. In view of this divine fact of election and predestination, it should be possible to confront every doubt and unbelief and to come to rest in God in every circumstance and in every situation, to become aware of this anew. Lord, You chose me before the foundation of the world, and already when I was born into this world, You destined me to be born again and to enter that world. I thank You for this and praise Your holy name. And then the devil can paint hell on the wall, then do like Luther, slap the inkpot on it, and then you don't see much, just the beautiful stain. Beloved, our God is a faithful God. We are not dealing with people and their promises, to not use the term slip of the tongue. It can be used this way or that way. There are many people who promise themselves, and some make a promise. But with God, they are promises. And I'm grateful for that. As the song goes, God's promises remain. They do not waver. Jesus has sealed with His own blood what He promises in His word. And then we can say confidently, heaven and earth may burn, hills and mountains fade, but he who believes will find his word remains eternally true, as the song goes. And then all hell can stand on its head, and the devil can rage as he pleases. And that is the cause of his rage, because we escape him forever. If that were not the case, oh dear, he would conduct the choir for us and would do everything to make everything run smooth. But because we have escaped him forever, by the grace and mercy of our God, he rages. Why did Abel have to die? Why did all the prophets have to be killed, stoned and murdered? And then our Lord came and suffered the bitter death on the cross. Why did all the blood have to flow? Satan is the god of this world, and he did his part, And we have to give him credit. He did not do his thing badly. He has made a mess of everything. He has stirred up hatred. He has created enmity. Let us give him credit for that. But we don't dwell on that. We want to give glory to our God and thank him that the people of the Lord have been snatched from this enmity and that they have been placed in reconciliation with God and thus in reconciliation with each other. A true believer can try as hard as he wants to hate. And if he were to try to put it into practice, a smile would almost come on his face, and he would not be able to do it. He has a different nature. Everybody is as God created him. I mean now, either recreated him or not. A person who has received a new nature has first had to give up the old one to death. And from a spring cannot gush forth sweet and bitter. This is no consolation to you that I have read from Psalms 58. But it should nevertheless strengthen you once and for all in the certainty that God has people of whom he knows that some go to destruction and others go to glory. And when it's written here, the wicked are estranged from the womb. Paul contrasts this with a divine fact and says, who separated me from my mother's womb unto this. Isn't that something wonderful? May we today become deeply aware in our souls that we belong to the seed of God, to the people who were chosen before the foundation of the world and set apart from their mother's womb to be the property of God. And here it goes on to say, they go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. John writes, I want you to know that no lie is of the truth. And thanks be to God, who has so wonderfully revealed to us the word of truth in these last days. And I would like to summarize the meaning and purpose of the divine revelation of his word in a few sentences. First of all, what it was not revealed for, namely not for us to talk about it or even argue about it or interpret it. God made his word alive, made it a reality, and revealed it to us for the supreme purpose of being sanctified in the truth, by the truth. For without holiness, no one will see the Lord. The end-time message, the revealed word of God, has been given to the church for this purpose, to be sanctified in the truth and by the truth, so that we can behold the face of our God. Whoever out of the revealed word, and whoever does anything with the revealed word, other than observe and comprehend this divine meaning, has not understood what it is all about, and he encroaches on an office without authority that has not been entrusted to him by God. May the Lord bless us all and strengthen us And may He speak to us all like a father to his children. Oh, if we could really hear Him acoustically now, what would He say? What would the words be? Perhaps the first thing He would say to us would be, "Fear not." That's what He said over and over again. Fear not. And He also said, "Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He also said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, because she is founded on the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revelation of the Word and Spirit." The church of the Lord is the work of God here on earth. Let us be inserted into it. Let us become a firm part of the church of the living God. Say it today, whether aloud or silently, whether only in your heart or with your lips. Lord, I thank you that you have chosen me before the foundation of the world, predestined me to behold your glory. And I thank you that you have separated me. Even when I came into this world, you set me apart and destined that I should be taken over into that world. And when we leave this mortal tabernacle, we have a building, a body that God has already prepared. Oh, let us give thanks to our God today for all the things that are happening around us. If everyone had only lamented and complained when things went badly for them, who would have had time to praise God? Let us give thanks to God for everything, if He helps us, and that is what He wants, in every situation, and then He will be able to bless us from the riches of His grace. Blessed and praised be His wonderful and glorious name. Now one more question. The Lord opened the heart of Lydia. Did He do the same for you today? Then thank Him and praise Him with all your heart. Amen. Let us stand. Brother Rus will come and pray with us. Heavenly Father, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your mighty speaking, even in this morning hour. These are not the words of a man, but we have heard your words, O God. Lord, you have spoken to us as a father to his children, O Lord. And you will help us, Lord, in all the situations in which we are placed. Lord, we thank thee, O God, that thou speakest thus, O Lord. But thou art also, O Lord, about to meet us in all situations and be our help. We cannot but give thee thanks and honor and worship you, O Lord. For thou art wonderful. Yes, Lord, when we were still dead in our transgressions, you already saw us and paid the price for us. You made us alive. Praise be to your glorious name. We worship you together, Lord, from the hearts and mouths of all of us. Lord, we give you thanks and the honor, and will not forget what you have done for us, especially in these last days. You remembered us, Lord, when everything is going haywire, Lord, but you have taken care of your people. And you speak to your people in a wonderful way. Lord, your sheep hear your voice, and they will follow you, Lord, It will all be revealed. Who is your sheep or who is not your sheep, Lord? O Lord, all things will be revealed that are in the hearts, whether good or evil, Lord. Praise be to your wonderful name. But give us all grace, is my fervent prayer. Bless all who have come. Bless my brothers, my sisters. Bless all your people, Lord. Also on this morning, Lord, we worship you. Bless and save yet what can be saved, Lord. I worship you and praise your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.